You have your Bibles just for a few moments because time is fleeting and a lot of things are on the schedule today. On the subject that I don't think we're ever going to finish. It'll be part of the preaching as long as I have breath to declare in this day of polytheism. It's a term that's used for the worship of many gods. In India alone, they worship thousands of gods. In other nations, there are always gods that are declared. The scripture all throughout it in different places says it either directly or indirectly. Who has a god like our God? The prophets of Baal worshipped a false god, an image that they had made. And by the way, the reason there's an experience of a spiritual experience in these false gods and false worships is because demons will impersonate the god that man has made for himself. Anything to divert from the true worship of the true and the living God. At the top of Mount Carmel, there was a power encounter between the prophets of Baal and one prophet of God named Elijah. And Elijah stood and declared the true and the living God, Jehovah, on top of that mountain. The prophets of Baal declared that Baal is God. So now we've got all of the prophets of Baal, and we got one prophet of God. And there were many more prophets of God, but they were afraid for their very life. But Elijah's standing out there, praise God. And he says, let the God who answers by fire be declared the true and the living God. God told him what to do. He told him, now when I supernaturally identify myself as the true and living God, I want you to make a sacrifice unto me. But I want you to dig a ditch around it and fill it with water. Now, it had already been set as a precedent many times when a sacrifice was offered and was so pleasing to God, God himself would send fire to consume the sacrifice. And he was about to do it again. So Elijah obeyed him, and he dug a ditch around the place of the sacrifice, and he offered the sacrifice, built an altar, offered the sacrifice, and then he prayed. Before he prayed, the prophets of Baal had the first turn. They cried from daylight till dark, and their God did not answer. There was nothing. No manifestation, and they got frustrated, and they thought if we cut ourselves, he'll see our sacrifice. And they begin to cut themselves and make themselves bleed to try to get a false god to answer empty prayers. Nothing happened until Elijah prayed. But when Elijah prayed, everything changed. God said, I want to make it very clear that it's going to be me and not happenstance and me and not circumstance. I want you to build an altar, offer a sacrifice unto me, but I want you to dig a ditch around the altar and want you to fill it up with water, the natural enemy of fire. Can you say amen? Unless it's holy fire, unless it's supernatural fire, unless it's coming from God himself. I want you, when you're through with, I want you to take barrels of water and pour it on the sacrifice itself to make sure it is soaked. I don't want anyone, after this occurs, hollering spontaneous combustion. Can you say amen? So he did everything that God told him to do, and then he prayed. And he said, Lord, let them know that at thy word, I have prepared this sacrifice. At thy word, I have dug the ditch and filled it with water. At thy word, I have poured water on it until it soaked. And suddenly fire came out of heaven, lapped up all the water that was poured around it and consumed the sacrifice. And Elijah said, okay, who has a God like our God? Can you say amen? Who has a God like our God? It's the theme of Deuteronomy 4 and 7. Who has a God like our God? A God so nigh us in all that we call upon him for. Answered prayer. Because it was a prayer that was answered. Fire didn't come until a man obeyed God's word and then prayed to him. Declared him, obeyed his word, and prayed to him. I don't know about you, but I believe we need that holy, supernatural fire once again. Church has become something that we're so conditioned to. Many people just go to church like the dollar. Amen. They just go to church, go to church, go to church. And that's commendable. We ought to go to church. But the thing is, just going to church and never encountering the living God. Hearing messages on prayer, but never getting answers to prayer. Amen. Let the God who answers prayer, let the God who shows up, and let the God who shows out when he does show up, be declared the true and the living God. You know what Jehovah said to his people about idols? He said they have eyes, but they can't see. They got hands, but they can't help. They got ears, but they can't hear. Your idols were man-made. And although they're spiritual entities that will try to imitate and emulate the idols that man have made for themselves, there's only one true and living God, and he distinguishes himself through the manifest presence in our lives. If that isn't occurring, and we've got a whole generation of people that there's been such a vacuum for the power and presence of God, we have cessationists today openly declaring that the days of miracles are over. It's done. And you know what that means? That means prayer is useless and God's people are hopeless and helpless. And there's nothing, and here's the danger, there's nothing to distinguish our God from anybody else's. Amen? Does steeples and stonework and stained glass distinguish him? Dude, look what we have built. They put an organ in a church in Fort Lauderdale. Cost $1 million for the organ. It's a big old organ. I'm not just talking about a big. It's got the pipes that are high as the ceiling. The whole front of the church is nothing but pipes for this grand machine to play Bach and Beethoven. And guess what? The $1 million for that grand machine was for the glory of God. You know what the Bible said? God said, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house, cement, stained glass, and stone that you will build for me? What house? If heaven is my throne, see, God is bigger than religion has declared him to be. He said, you can't contain me in anything that you can build for me. You cannot contain me. And to whom will I look? Even to him that is of a humble and contrite heart and trembleth at my word. You know where God's always wanted to live? You know where he's always wanted to live from day one? And he made it possible after the cross on the day of Pentecost. Do you know where God wants to live? Hallelujah. Other than his heaven, it's in every one of our hearts and lives. What Paul said, looking out at people that were just churchgoers and not really understanding, amen, the majesty and the magnitude of all that it meant to come to Christ. You know what he said? What? He starts out with what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost himself? Hallelujah. How is it, they asked Jesus when they were pressing on him, because people were being healed and everybody wanted to touch him, and they were pressing him on all sides. And his disciples says, how are you ever going to be intimate and personal with us? And not everybody. Every time we walk out the door, they're all over you. And they're pushing us aside just to get to you. How is it? He said, if any man love me and keep my commandments, I and my Father will come to him and we will make our abode with him. Him. Can you say, man, that word abode means where you live, not where you visit. God doesn't just come upon us on occasion. He comes within us and He lives within us. And it's that presence within us that gives us the surety of heaven. Hallelujah. Because it's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. Can you say, man? And it's the Holy Spirit within us that is that seal that we are sealed with. It marks us as God's own children. It's not just a church affiliation or denomination or water baptism. We've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why is it the hope of glory? Because if the holiest persons of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, golden streets don't make heaven holy. Foundations of precious stones don't make heaven holy. You know what makes heaven holy? The presence of God. If God comes on a bush down here, the bush is holy. And the ground around it's holy. When Moses saw the manifest presence of God on the burning bush, what did God tell him? Take off your shoes. You've got to do something to reverence the presence of God, because the ground you're standing on, that a snake crawled on and ants are building their houses on, that ground is no longer normal ground anymore. My presence has sanctified the ground around this bush. Amen. And it's now holy. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. When upon the top of the holy mountain, Mount Sinai, when Moses went up to talk to God and God talked to Moses and God's presence came down on that mountain, it became so holy that the Bible said not only should any person touch it, but if an animal run near the base of that mountain, kill the animal immediately, because the presence of God on the top of that mountain had sanctified the mountain and the ground in the immediate area around it. Can you say, man, that's why you couldn't go behind the veil? You couldn't go behind the veil. Why couldn't you go behind the veil? Because God's manifest presence abode, amen, between the seraphim, behind the veil. It was an earthly place of His manifestation. And you would die as sure as you walk behind it. Why? Because He is holy. And I don't mean just holy like we might think of holy. He is absolutely pure. Amen. Hallelujah. In Him there is no variableness, not even a shadow of turning. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Every one of us have to wrestle with the darkness of this world and the darkness of our own weak flesh, but in Him there is no darkness at all. He's like a laser. Can you say, man, a pure, white, hot light? And that's what makes Him so powerful. They got lasers now that can, and they're building bigger ones and better ones. But you can right now shoot a laser beam all the way to the moon at the speed of light. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why couldn't you touch the mountain? Why couldn't you go behind the veil? One person could go once a year. And before He offered a sin sacrifice for the people, the high priest, He had to come from a lineage of priests. Couldn't be just anyone. He had to go through ceremonial washings. That's why the church is going through a washing right now. Amen. You're clean through the washing of water by the word. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. God's word doesn't just pet you. Amen. It purges you. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. It's designed, amen, to cut two ways. To cut the devil that's coming against you and cut off the deadness in our life. Amen. Listen to me carefully. I want that purging process. I want it. I want to be, oh, shanda da ba rosha la ba senda da ba kanda shakalofa rashanda da ba sitia. Why do you want it, Brother Venable? I want to be challenged because I want to be changed. I don't want to be just a nominal Christian in a church goer. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I want to worship in spirit and in truth. I don't want to go through the motions. And by the way, worship is not just what we do in church. It's what we do when we leave church. The Bible said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, reciprocating, returning to Him the love and grace He's shown us. By doing what? Offering the grandest offering you could ever offer to God. Offer your body. That means the whole of your being. For your body is the container of your soul and your spirit. Amen. Offer your body, the whole of your being, holy and holy, holy, holy. Not just W-H-O-L-L-Y, but H-O-L-Y. The Lord God, the scripture said, sanctify you. Holy. Hallelujah. Spirit, soul, and body. God wants us to be a sanctified people. Sanctified and meet for the Master's use. For in a great house there are many vessels. Look at all the church going people on Sunday. But some will bring honor to Him and some will bring dishonor by what they do when they leave the building. Can you say amen? In a great house there are many vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. Some of silver and gold and some of wood and hay and stubble. Amen. If you will purge yourself from these. Amen. If you will be a person who decides, I'm not going to try to meet the status quo. I'm not going to see what this one's doing or that one's doing and said, if they can do it, I can do it. No, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. He's going to be the person that I want to be more like. I'm going to be a dedicated Christian. I'm not going to be one of those people that say I love the Lord, but I go out and serve the devil for 6 days and show up at church and wonder why it's not fulfilling. Wonder why it's not life-changing. Wonder why that I don't enter into the presence of God and experience that joy and that peace and that power. There are people that come in that look like they've been jerked through a knot hole backwards. That's pretty rough, isn't it? Toe up from the flow up. Life is defeating us. It shouldn't be. If we learn how to worship from the heart with the deep reverence that will not only affect our worship in the building, but allow Him to reign in the temple. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When we walk out of here, we will walk out as followers of Jesus Christ, not just churchgoers. We deny ourselves. We take up our cross and we follow Him. We march to the beat of a different drummer. Hallelujah. If we don't understand His holiness, we'll never worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because it's not just the earnestness of our heart. It's understanding His person. Our God is holy. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross. That's why He said, if there's another way, let the cup pass from me. If God can forgive sin on anything less than the shed blood of His own Son, let the cup. I don't want to do this if there's another way. I'm on record. I won't obey you, Father, but if there's another way, and listen, it wasn't the pain of being impaled. It wasn't the beating that He was going to get. It was the shame. It was He that, see, His holiness. Jesus never sinned. Never sinned. Never sinned. He that knew no sin became became sin. He didn't sin, but He was treated as a sinner on the cross. That we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Him. You see, a holy God can't look over sin. He's too holy to look over it. He's obligated by His own holiness to judge sin. Then how's He going to save us? Because the scripture said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That term short of the glory of God, it's a strong connotated term in the Greek. It doesn't mean to shoot at the target and miss the bullseye. You know what it means? It means to shoot at the target and miss the entire target. That's how far short we have come from what God demands. Someone said, man cannot be saved by perfect obedience because he cannot render it. He cannot be saved by imperfect obedience because a holy God can't accept it. There's only one answer. And we have a God that loved us so much as sinners that he would give his Son to take our punishment and take our place so that he could be just and a justifier of them that trust in Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it, he didn't sweep our sin under the rug. He don't have a rug. Can you say, man, to sweep it under? You know what he did with our sin? He judged it in his Son so that justice could be served, so that we could go free. Glory to God. Martin Luther King, birthday coming up. I admire this man because he used peace and not violence to see the change come. And it was slow coming, but it came. And it should be celebrated. Can you say amen? But there was a song back during the civil rights movement because there was a sense that that change was coming. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm free too. Amen. From the slavery of sin. Being enslaved by the devil and a slave to sin. Thank God Almighty, Brother Taylor. I am free at last. Hallelujah. Sin shall no more have dominion over you and me. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. That means that no means no. And God honors that no, and the devil has to back off if you just mean it and say it in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is calling his people to a holy life, and he wants us to worship him as a holy God, a thrice holy God. Let me read these scriptures because I'm about to preach without reading them. I want to get them in before we close. Listen carefully. Who is like unto thee? Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Now, there's three things here. Most people will zero in on the power of God. I'm Pentecostal. We zeroed in constantly on the power of God. So we had a lot of powerful, gifted, anointed, tongue-talking Pentecostals that were not very much like Jesus. If you think talking in tongues and seeing a miracle when you pray or some gift of the Spirit makes you like Jesus, you've got the whole wrong idea. As we behold as in a glass his face, we are changed into his image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. Amen. This is essentially about his person. His person. When you worship a person. Listen to what it said. Who has a God like our God among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in what? Holiness. Fearful in praises. Doing wonders. Doing wonders is last. That's the power of God. By the way, if you don't know his person, just seeing his powerful acts will not give you the faith that you need to trust in him. And it certainly won't prepare you and put you in a position to worship him in spirit and in truth. Can't do it. The children of Israel saw him part the Red Sea. They saw him bring it back. They saw his miracles in Egypt. They saw God's delivering power. They grabbed the tambourine, man, at when they saw that great army being destroyed in the Red Sea as God brought them across on dry land and then let the enemy get in the midst of it and brought the waters back and drowned an entire world empire army, chariots, horses, and people. Amen. They saw it with their own eyes. They were there. And yet when they faced difficulty, they forgot what they saw. They quit trusting God. They began to accuse Him. Amen. Our God must hate us. For He brought us out in the wilderness to abandon us and let us die. He hadn't went anywhere. They're the ones that were drifting away from Him. And the Bible said that Israel saw His wonders. But Moses knew His ways. Hallelujah. He knew Him on an intimate, personal level. You know what God said about Moses? He said, other prophets I'll speak to in visions and dreams, but not so my servant Moses. Him will I speak to mouth to mouth. Can you imagine that? There was even a place called the Tent of Meeting as they traveled. Amen. And Moses, and only Moses, would go out to that tent. And that pillar of fire, amen, it would go out to that tent and hover right at that tent. And him and God would talk just like you and me talking after church. Woo. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what did He have that I need? Can you say, man, what did He have that I ain't got? Because obviously He had something. And I wanted to know what marked Moses, amen, that gave him that special place with God, that God would appoint him as that leader that he became and would deal with him on such a personal level to help him lead. And I found it in the scripture about Moses. It said, now the man Moses was above all of the people of the earth in this respect. He was the most meek. Can you say amen? He was a man that would bow before God. Hallelujah. He would defer to God. He would listen to God. He worshiped God in that beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember when I went to preach in the jail system, to teach in the jail system. And I went in behind a seasoned jail minister. He was leaving, so they brought me in as an interim until they got another one. They let me, the assistant warden attended our church with his wife regularly, so he gave me a card to get in anytime I wanted. They would prepare the holding cell for me and the people. It would hold about 50. We generally had 30 to 35. And so I went to learn. I went to learn how to do it. And when you don't know how to do it, you have to depend a lot on God. Amen. If you're confident and competent and eloquent and educated, you can depend on your confidence, eloquence, and education. But if you don't have none of the above, you got to depend on God. And when you depend on God, you're going to have an anointing from Him that comes only from Him. And you can't get it in any Bible college. You can get a PhD. You can have so many degrees they call you Dr. Fahrenheit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But you can't get an anointing until you're totally, humbly dependent upon the Lord. And I went in there as green as the grass. And I was comfortable because this guy's going to show me the ropes. This guy's going to teach me how to do it. This guy'll show me how to answer the tough question. You see, I was wrong about that. It was the Holy Spirit that was going to do all of that. So I'm very comfortable because He's in charge. I'm here to observe. I didn't prepare anything except myself. They blood typed me when I went in because we were not in the normal Sunday service where chaplains come in and the guards stand around. And no, we were down in a cell all by ourselves way in the back. And the radios were blaring so loud that if you hollered for help, nobody would hear you. Amen. So I prepared myself prayerfully for protection mainly. Protect me, Lord. You know, I was going to the gym then. I was pretty buff, but there's some big boys down in that jail. I'm not going to ask if you've seen any of them or was any of them, but God is good today. So he stood up. He said, we're teaching, Pastor Venable, on the Beatitudes. I said, great, I'm ready. I'm listening. I got my Bible. I'm ready. And he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's good. Hand went up in the back. Guy with tattoos down both arms, and cold gray eyes. I mean, he looked like he, you know, he's just a guy you wouldn't want to meet when you come out of Walmart in the parking lot. Can you say amen? Way out there. He said, if I was meek in here, I'd be dead. I thought, now I'm going to see this man work. Work it, work it. This seasoned jail minister going to show me how it's done. And he said, we've got a guest here today that's going to be taking over for me for a while. I'm going to defer this to Pastor Venable. Boy, I prayed one of the fastest, most sincere prayers that I have ever prayed. I said, oh, Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. That's what he loves to hear from a preacher. He loves to hear that from a preacher, because most of us get so good at it, we don't pray that sincerely for his help and his anointing. But if you know you're not good, oh, friend, we need in our pulpits today someone that has been on the mountain and has got a message from God. Can you say amen? And is willing to come down from that mountain and give us God's message. Not just been, amen, to the golf course and been to the theater and crammed on Saturday night to get a nice, neat little three-point sermon and a little story to match it. But somebody that's went to the mountain like Moses did and came down with a message from God. Can you say amen? How many believe we more need more preachers that'll spend time in the presence of God to bring God's message and God's heart to God's people? If anybody will do that, I guarantee you they'll do it under God's anointing. Amen. They'll do it under God's anointing. And the word is changed when it comes through the anointing. It's, the Bible said it is like a hammer. Hammer time. I can't do it well. Don't look at my feet. Amen. Amen. Church ought to be hammer time. The word is like a hammer that does what? Breaks the rock in pieces. That hard heart is broken up when it comes under the anointing with the authority of God himself and not just the intelligence and eloquence of the preacher. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. The anointing does what? It breaks the yoke. And the word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Hallelujah. How many remember when you heard the gospel and your rocky old heart was broken to pieces and then God put all the pieces back together again? Hallelujah. But it wasn't hard anymore. He took out the heart of stone and replaced it with a heart of flesh. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So when I stood up, depended on him, he stood up in me. I felt him stand up in me. Praise God, and all the fear was gone. The self-consciousness was gone. The confusion was gone. You know what God told Jeremiah? And it's hard to do it in here. I preached to over 10,000 in Haiti, and it was so easy. You know why it was so easy with that crowd? I couldn't, from where I was on a platform, and it was in the dark. We had generators running to give us light. But there was over, in excess of 10,000. Some conservative estimates were 10,000. Others were around 15,000 people that came to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember standing on that platform declaring Jesus, and I couldn't see anybody's expression. I preached to really almost faceless people. But in here, this is a whole different story. Can you say, man? Because I see you. You see me. I mean, we're close enough to smell each other's deodorant in here. This is different. It's intimate, close, up close, and personal. Gets real personal. Jeremiah was going to talk to people that were going to look back at him with a bad attitude. And God said, I'm going to send you with my word. But don't you look at the expressions on the faces of the people. Lest I confuse you, you're going to get self-conscious instead of God-conscious. And the moment you do, you're going to lose it, man. You're going to lose my word and just get dumbfounded. Listen carefully. Man used to come to our church, an evangelist. And I used to wonder about him. Because when he started preaching, he preached up. And I thought he was so anointed, he's just looking heavenward all the time. But he wasn't. I figured it out after a while. I know what he was doing. Some of the things he was preaching was, you know, hard on the flesh. So he didn't want to see how the flesh was reacting to his preaching. And he's an evangelist, and he had already learned, don't look at their faces. They may not be smiling at you. Can you say amen for telling them God's truth? They ought to be. They claim to be Christians. They're in a church. They're carrying a Bible. Amen. The word ought not hurt true believers. It ought to help them. Even when it convicts them, it ought to help them. Help them to follow Christ like He's called them to do. Help them to defeat the flesh, to overcome the world, and to resist the devil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But everybody don't receive it that way. So he preached looking up. When the Holy Ghost stands up within you, you don't have to look up no more. When the anointing comes upon you, you don't have to look over here because somebody's looking at you hard over there. Vance Havner said it, seasoned pastor for many years, I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles than in my congregation. Honestly, I can't say that about this congregation. Amen. There's some people in here that are the genuine, authentic article. You love the Lord. You love His Word. And you wouldn't even be here. There's bigger churches with more amenity. You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe that I'd been to the mountain. Can you say amen and got something from God to bring you on Sunday morning? And even if it convicts you or chastens you, it's because He loves you. Hallelujah. Whoever He saves, He sanctifies. Make no mistake about it. He doesn't leave you a slave to sin. He brings you out of the prison house of darkness and brings you into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Whoever He saves, He sanctifies. And whoever He cleanses, which means cleansed and set apart unto God, sanctifies, He uses. Hallelujah. You be like a city. If you live your life in sharp contrast to the culture and the world about you, amen, you don't have to say a word. You're a living epistle written and read of all men. Praise God. Hallelujah. You become light in that dark place. Not because you preach to everybody through your words, but you preach to them through your life. You're different. Amen. You're an upstream Christian in a downstream world. Hallelujah. In a great house there are many vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. If thou wilt purge thyself from these, if you'll come out from among these, if you'll quit following the crowd and quit trying to meet the status quo and say, I'm serious about my personal walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. We used to sing the song, my brother won't go, won't hinder me. If my sister don't go, won't hinder me. We have to get that Joshua 24:15 attitude. Amen. If it seemed good to you to serve Baal, then go serve him. If Baal is God, then you ought to bow to him and serve him. But if the Lord is God, you ought to bow to him and no other God. Can you say amen? But he said after he got through preaching, you make the choice, the nation of Israel. But as for me, those that I have influence over, as for me and my house, I don't know what you're going to do down in your house. God knows before you get to your house what you're going to do when you get there. I don't know. There is no security camera set up to tape you. I don't know. In fact, I don't want to know. But God knows. There's nothing hid from the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. Can you say amen? So we might as well get real with God and get right with God. Because He knows. He knows. He knows. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God any of the time. I don't want to fool him. David got in such trouble because of his own sin and blindness to his sin. He said, Lord, I don't want that to ever happen to me again. You brought me out. You've forgiven me. You're restoring me. But I don't want to fall back into that terrible place again in my life. And he opened his life before the Lord like an open book. And he said, search me and see if there be any unclean way in me. I want you to search me. And if you find it, I want you to show it to me so that with your grace and help, I can deal with it. Can you say amen? I don't want that darkness abiding. I don't want to go through what I've been through. I don't want sin to trap me like I was entrapped. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to be authentic. I want to be transparent. I want to be real. When Saul failed and became self-willed and stubborn, here's what God said, and David is the man he chose. He said, Saul is not going to get to be king any longer in Israel. His kingdom shall be taken from him and given to another. And he said, I will choose a man after my own heart, who will obey me in all that I command him. Can you say amen? He didn't look for a man that was eloquent. He didn't look for a man that had all of the qualifications that we think a great leader ought to have, that was competent and confident. He looked for a man that was meek enough to bow down, repent when he was wrong, listen to what God said, and do what the Lord commanded him. He was looking for something different than what we qualify people to lead today with. We look at them for their anointing. He said, before I put my anointing on him, I want something in him that's got to be in him. So many people got anointed, but they didn't get sanctified. They got anointed, but there's nothing holy about them. They got gifts of the Spirit, but they were not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. A lot of attention was brought to them, but they shipwrecked and they failed and they sinned, and they indicated to the rest of us that sin can have dominion and will have dominion. With all of the power of God, you can still be captured and captivated by the world and captured by the devil and destroyed by sin. Preachers need to be sanctified as much as anybody else. The anointing does not disqualify me from the need of that purging power of His Word and His holy fire. Can you say amen? I've been married for 51 years. I don't want to blow it now. We've come a long way. We've come through fire and flood and everything else the devil could throw at us. Our home is a place he loves to attack. Not that we're having any big problems. It's just, it's never let up. From the day I started proclaiming Jesus, the devil has tried to discourage me, dissuade me, distract me, to tempt me, anything to keep me from doing what I'm doing this morning. But God has been faithful. God has been faithful. God has been faithful. If you're just a church goer, you don't know anything about the holiness of God. Because if you ever worship a thrice holy God, it will change the way you worship. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you live. You'll want to be closer to Him. Not just to feel Him, but to please Him. There's a difference. Can you say amen? Who has a God like our God? Among the gods, who is like the glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Hallelujah. But what's it all start with? Before the praise and the glory is given Him because of the thing that He does. First, there's a revelation of who He is. Our God is holy. In fact, He's thrice holy. Let's read two more scriptures real quick. How many's ready to eat something? It's okay. It's not a trap. I'm not going to preach from that point on whose belly is their God. Although I could, but I'm not going to. I'm going to restrain myself. When God is revealed for being glorious in holiness, He's a thrice holy God. Say it with me, a thrice holy God. God is a God of love, but you'll never see God is love, love, love. You'll never see Him reiterate that. God is love. God is light. Pure light. But you'll never see God is light, light, light. God is powerful, but you'll never see almighty, mighty, mighty. Never angels cry thrice, mighty, mighty, mighty. But they do cry thrice, holy, holy, holy. Can you say amen? In the year, you didn't hear me. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah chapter 6, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train, literally His glory, filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings, and with twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. He was designed by God, seraphims, to minister in the very presence of God Himself. And angelic beings had to cover their faces and their feet because of God's holiness. Can you say amen? Because of God's holiness. Listen to me carefully. Oh, Brother Venable, you're one of those holiness preachers. Oh, yes, I'm preaching the holiness of God. And the Bible said, be ye holy, for He is holy. And be ye holy, you that bear the vessels of the Lord. It's a lost message, but oh, in this sin-tainted world, amen, how we need it back in the church of Jesus Christ. How we need it in our homes, and we need it in our lives. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. With twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, are you ready? Are you ready out there? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now look what happens. When we worship a thrice holy God, the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then a hand-picked prophet that God chose to speak to Israel as one of the major prophets to Israel, Jeremiah. Say, woe is me. There's too many people satisfied in the presence of a holy God because you never feel conviction. Because you're talking tongues, you have visions, dreams, you deliver messages. I'm not talking about your gifts. We're talking about my character, your character. We're talking about even the motive behind the gifts. When you get sanctified holy, you don't have to be put on a pedestal because of your gifts. You don't have to be applauded. You don't have to get someone's respect because of your ministry gift. That's why He chose David. That's why He chose Moses. Because he was above all his peers most meek. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. Woe is me, handpicked, appointed, getting ready to be anointed of God. And the first thing out of his mouth in the presence of God, the holiness of God became so apparent. He said, woe is me. I can't stand here in this holy presence without confessing my sin and the sins of the people. Get in the presence of a holy God, you'll get into repentance. Oh yes, you will find some things that need. In that holy light, when it shines on you and not that person at this point, when it shines on you and me, when His holy light shines on us, not just what we do, but why we do it. Brother, you've been preaching for 51 years. Yeah, but why am I doing it? Am I doing it for vainglory? Am I going to go home and listen to myself? And say, wow, That's some good preaching. It's too good for this little church.
I ought to have a big church.
Preacher like myself, you got to be cautioned. Because God's word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. That's all you can see and that's all I can see. But God looks directly into the heart. When you get in the presence of a holy God, you'll want to fall on your face. You won't want to shout yet. You won't want to run the aisle yet. You won't want to talk in tongues. You'll want to talk in English and tell Him, Lord, cleanse me. Forgive me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Thank you for the amens. I was going to do it anyway, but it does help. I'll have to admit. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it on my mouth, and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're willing to repent? Amen. I'm willing to purge you. Praise God. This is that fire that John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. But when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That fire is not just zealousness for the Lord. It is not just manifest gifts of the Spirit. It is a purging fire. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's the fire that is called Shekinah indescriptively, because it is the fiery glory that attends the presence of God. That's why when the Holy Ghost came within them on the day of Pentecost, there was evidence not only of speaking in tongues, but on top of every one of their heads were cloven tongues of fire. It didn't burn them, but it was burning brightly from every spirit-filled person in that room. We think fire is a preacher that's all fired up. Honey, fire won't just please you. It'll purge you. You get in the holy presence of God, you'll get convicted of your sin. It's so easy to pray for the world and those sinners. We have whole rallies that has nothing to do with the church repenting, has everything to do with the world repenting. Let's pray for our nation. Why don't we pray for ourselves first? If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. Is that all it takes? Intercession? No. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. Everybody say turn. I saw a big old semi behind me had a cross in lights on the front of it. I said, there go a Christian in that semi. Big old cross in lights on the front of that big old whatever Kenwood tractor. Saw him in my rear view. He come around me. Saw his mud flaps. Had Yosemite Sam with both guns out like that. Said, turn or burn. Amen. I thought that man is a witness coming and going. He's offering you the cross but giving you the consequences. Can you say amen? Turn or burn. Listen, this old world needs to turn. And that's what repentance means. Hallelujah. It means to do an about face if you were in the military. You're headed down one road. You see it's the wrong road. And you turn around and you choose the right road. Hallelujah. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and repentance in God's house. Repentance among God's people. Repentance among the preachers that's called the meeting. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jeremiah repented. He didn't just say, they're a mess out there. Oh Lord, give me a message to bless someone. He said, I need repentance. I need purging. I need cleansing. Can you say amen? And God said, if you want it, I tell you where it's going to come from. An angel took a coal from the altar, sanctified in the presence of God, and touched it to the man's lips. Amen. It's not enough to speak in tongues. You need a purging. I need a purging. We need some holiness back in God's house and among God's people. Today it's a casual. We've dumbed it down and played it down until coming into the presence of a holy God. He's not fearful in praise.
We just praise Him out of our emotions and feelings. The Bible said because He's glorious in holiness, He's fearful in praise.
Fearful in praise? You mean the fear of the Lord is supposed to be part of our worship service? Do you know how many people are going to sing a solo in a church this morning that are going to live like the devil when they get out of church? Because they don't fear God? Do you understand what I'm saying? Guys trying to get in church. How many remember when the mini skirts were around? Thank God they're gone. Two preachers riding in a car said, look what the world is coming to. Lady walking down there, you could... It's kind of like Victoria's Secret. She ain't got no secret. Can you say, man, that's a misrepresentation. He looked over and saw two gals in a miniskirt. He told the other preacher, boy, look what this world is coming to. Just look at that. Yes, you get it. I understand. I can count on Linda when everybody else is just kind of, amen. The day of the mini skirts, I was trying to get a guy that I worked for Tampa Electric before going into full-time ministry and trying to get him in church. He said, oh, I live one block from a church. My front porch, I watch people gathering, getting out of the cars in the parking lot. He said, I love to see those choir ladies getting out of their cars in mini skirts before they put on the choir robe. He said, I love Sunday morning. It's quite a sight to see. And I thought we're going to have to do better than that if we're going to reach this old gainsaying world. Can you say, man, we ought to be concerned not about what grace allows us to do, but what God wants us to do. Can you say, man, to represent Him in a way that the world will know that we're not like the world anymore. We're not self-righteous, but we are righteous in His sight. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Listen to this. Holy, holy, holy. Then God asks, who shall go for us? And because He knows He's been purged and sanctified, He says, here am I. By the way, so many people are saying without the purging, here am I, I'll go. I'm so anointed, I'm so highly qualified, I'm so eloquent, I'm so interesting. Here am I, I'll go. I've got my degree. I've got my backing from my organization. I'll go. He wasn't looking for somebody that say, I'll go. He was looking for a man that would say, send me. Can you say, man? There's a big difference when somebody says, I'll go, and somebody has been sent of the Lord. That's what apostle means in the New Testament. You know what apostle means? It means a sent one. It's one that Christ appeared to, called personally, and sent them. Even as my Father sent me, so send I you. Can you say, man? I want to hear from a man that God has sent to preach to me. Not somebody that the church has hired. Somebody that's job scared. I want to hear from somebody that God has sent to bring me a message. I want to hear from somebody that's been to the mountain like Moses and comes down with a message from God. Dr. Martin Luther King said, I've been to the mountain. He had a vision of something happened that nobody believed could ever happen. And it's still in process. But it took somebody going to the mountain and getting the vision and bringing it to the people. He wasn't just a political or even a racial. He wasn't an activist. He said, I've been to the mountain and I have a dream. I've got a vision. Can you say, man, glory to God, I've got a vision. We need men and women today, black and white, red and yellow, with a vision. Something from God to give to God's people. It will always be a challenge. Hallelujah. Praise God. It will call us to a unity and to become not just political activists, but become active followers of Jesus Christ. And when that occurs, we don't have to try to witness anymore. We become as a city set on a hill, which cannot be hid. Hallelujah. And then you better prepare yourself. And then be ready to give an answer to all men. Hallelujah. For the hope that's in you. Because they're going to see it. And they're going to come and they're going to want to know about it. And you can tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. You want to see these angels one more time before we close? These same angels saying the same thing. Turn maybe to Revelation chapter. Chapter 4 and verse 8. In the presence of God in heaven. Did you know that God hasn't changed? And did you know these seraphim are still in the presence of God? Crying, holy, holy, holy. They never get tired doing it. When we get to heaven, we won't either. Hallelujah. And the four beasts, each of them had six wings. Do you identify with that? Did we just read about seraphim with six wings? Beast here means living creatures. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying. Can you say that with me? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. He's glorious in holy. He's fearful in praises. And listen, if we get that right, He's mighty in wonders. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All of this shallow, irreverent worship of people that are going to go out the door and do their own thing after singing that wonderful song. The choir member's going to take off those robes and they're going to put on something. Can you say, man, they're going to go somewhere after church and during the week. And all of that beautiful visual, that optic that we see on Sunday, God knows the truth about all of that. From the preacher, I could get me a robe. I saw me a robe the other day, and it was a nice-looking robe. And if I was going to wear a robe, that'd be the robe that I wear. Because that thing was I'm not putting down robes. I'm saying it was really neat. It was nice. I wouldn't have to coordinate my tie with my suit or my shirt. Put that robe on. It says it all. I mean, it is super duper. I could put it on. We had a preacher come to town one time. He preached with his shoes off. He was called the Barefoot Evangelist here in Tampa. You probably, before your time, not before your time, but anyway, you didn't have time back then because you wasn't following Jesus and you didn't care nothing about no. But he was a Barefoot Evangelist. You know why they called him Barefoot Evangelist? Well, that's another guy. Anyway. Barefoot event. You know why he was barefooted? Because he said, and this is what was wrong with the whole thing. He said, when I preach, there's such an anointing on me. The ground I'm standing on is like that burning bush. God is on me like the bush. So I have to take my shoes off to preach. And I thought, poor fella, that was ever... If one thing will disqualify you from that, it's pride. Can you say, man? You heard about the guy, didn't you? They gave him a medal. They gave him a pin to wear for being the most humble in the congregation. He wore it to church the next Sunday, and they took it away from him. That was a man boasting in his own anointing. But do we need holy servants of God today that have spent some time in the presence of God and let God purge them first before they try to preach to us? Can you say amen? How many believe the preacher ought to let God purge him before he preaches to the congregation. Can you say amen? Hola barata, sende da bakata. Amen. And how many believe that we need someone to spend time in the presence of God and bring us God's message? God loves us. He knows who is going to be here this morning. He knows exactly what we need. He wants to bring a revival to our nation, but he needs repentance in his church. It's not sin that's holding back the revival. Where sin doth abound, the scriptures declare his grace hyperabounds, superabounds. He said, I'm a forgiver of sin. I'm a deliverer from sin. It's not sin and sinners that hold back revival. It's an unrepentant church that does not welcome, receive, or respond to the message of repentance. So he's glorious in holiness, but he's not fearful in praises. We praise him any old way with any old attitude. He's a holy God. I said he's a holy God. I said he's a holy God. I said he's a holy God. Glorious in holiness. And that's why angels never cry mighty, mighty, mighty. They never cry love, love, love. But they do cry holy, holy, holy. Can you say amen? Hu namashandada basitia. We'll read this in closing. Listen to it. We're getting ready to celebrate 51 years of ministry. And I'm telling you today, I just feel that God is going to send a revival to every person and every congregation that wants to worship him in the beauty of holiness. Can you say amen? Lift up what kind of hands? The only kind he... Bible spoke of hands that shed innocent blood. He talks about not touching the unclean thing. Why? Because our body is the temple of a thrice holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you folks that have been saved for years, I'm going to tell you straight out, you haven't arrived at some place where you are excluded from repentance. God bless your holy heart. You haven't arrived at that place. If you ever get past church and over yourself, can you say amen? And you get in his presence, you're going to have a woe is me, not a look at me. Can you say amen? You're going to want to be clean. You're going to have a David attitude. Hey, wash me with hyssop. Everybody say Psalm 51. Wash me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Can you say amen? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, thy deliverance, thy answered prayers, the hallelujah. Restore that relationship where I cry unto God and God comes through. Then... Woo! Then, not until then, but then, transgressors will learn your ways. And sinners that you're praying for and I'm praying for, they will be converted unto you. Can you say amen? When they see God's people manifest, and they see God manifest himself to them and through them. And church is more than just a gathering place for worldly people. Better about their sin. What happens when we see God's holiness? You can read it from Isaiah 6. It exposes our sinfulness. I'm going to ask for an amen for these just to make sure you get it. It exposes our sinfulness. By the way, you that say this don't apply to me, if we say we have no sin, it's in your Bible, 1 John. If anybody in here declares themselves sinless, not forgiven, you can declare yourself forgiven before you leave. But if you declare yourself sinless in here, omission or commission, the Bible said you're a liar and you do not the truth. God said you are a liar. It's a good thing your pants don't catch on fire. Revival, old time revival. Couldn't get nobody to come out. Pastor's desperate. He's got a real hot evangelist preacher. Friend of his is a farmer, and he's got a horse that can count. He decides to come to church Sunday night to get them in church like they do today. You know, just try to get them in somehow. He had a horse that can count. That farmer had shown him many times in the barn. Five! That horse. Five. Eight. He tap out eight. So he announced to the congregation, you come back tonight, and we're going to have a horse that can count. And they all came back to church. Because that's the only reason they came, see the counting horse, not hear the word of God, but they got him in the building. He said, holler out a number between 1 and 10. Somebody said 9. 9 times. Dead on stopped. That horse is good at it. He always got a treat after he did it. Amen. Somebody said 5. Horse, 5 times. Somebody said 2. The horse did it 2 times. Somebody said, what's 2 and 2? See if the horse could add. That old horse went 4 times. Didn't miss a lick. Somebody in the back with a big old grin said, how many hypocrites in this church? Horse went into a dance on all fours. Too many to count. Because if you come to see the dancing horse and not seek the living God, you're in church for the wrong reason. Honey, we need to get the dancing horse out of the church and get the temple of the living God back in the church. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise today. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. I feel the anointed here today. I don't want to be no hypocrite. I want to repent of my sin. I want to be purged by the word of God. I want the fire of God to be upon my life. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus. It's the baptism of fire, saith the Lord. It's the baptism of fire. It's the baptism of fire that is missing. The fire that will destroy the world, that threatens and makes the world fearful, it draws us to the presence of God. We don't run from that fire, we run to it for cleansing, for purging, for pleasing the living God. Hallelujah. I don't want to lead a praise service without declaring to whoever I'm leading it or wherever I'm leading it that God is glorious in holiness, fearful in praises. And if we will give Him the reverence that is due Him, praise God, we'll see doing wonders. Where He is reverenced, where He is honored, where He's obeyed, God is going to move in holy fire. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you're playing church, it's time to quit it. We're in the last of the last days, and Jesus is coming soon. If you're satisfied, amen, meeting the status quo, I believe God is touching you today. I believe God is drawing you today. I believe the Holy Spirit is moving and calling us to holiness and righteousness. Can you say amen? If sin has dominion, it's time you put your foot down. Glory be to God. Can you say amen? It's time to take your stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you leave here today, some people won't come back here. One lady paid us a high compliment. But it's a shame. It's a disgrace. But it was a high compliment. She said, Brother Venable, all these years, you know why I didn't come to your church? She did go to church, by the way. She just didn't come here to church. She said, because I knew. See, she wasn't right with God while going to church. Didn't want to get right with God yet. But she said, I knew if I come to your church, I was going to be convicted. I said, thank God. Thank God. Thank God if you come in here and you're not right with God, you're going to be convicted. How do you know I'm going to be? Because I get convicted preaching here. Amen. And I welcome the Holy Spirit to come and say, preacher, did you hear what you just said? I say, yes, sir, I did. Amen. Amen. I've been convicted because it's not my sermon. It's His Word. It's His Word. It's His Word. Will you stand to your feet? God is so good. God is so good. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not a very good pastor for those who want to be petted and prodded into serving God. There will be no dancing horses here. There'll be no entertainment to try to get you to worship this God, this worthy God. If you don't come because of Christ, you won't come very long. Because I'm not here to entertain you, and the church is not supposed to be in the entertainment business. Years ago, a coal of fire was touched to my lips called the anointing of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel. And believe me, when it was touched to my lips, I wasn't standing declaring my ability. I'm by nature introverted. I, like Moses, said, Lord, I can't speak. I have a speech impediment. I'm not good with words. You want me to go talk to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go? You picked the wrong man. Moses talked about the mouth again and said, who made a man's mouth? But it still didn't console Moses. But he told, I'll give you Aaron to go speak for you. I'll tell you what to say, and you tell him, and he will be the spokesman. He'll say it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The message was clear and concise. Let my people go, but not just let them go, but let them go that they might serve me. You were set free to serve, not free to sin. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you get it today? Don't make me preach any longer. I'm hungry too. Can you say amen? I've been set free to serve the living God. God brought me out to be a servant of the Most High God today. Hallelujah. Oh, I hate to go to Chattanooga. Because I can't wait. Listen, if He's glorious in holiness and we bow before Him reverently, and He becomes fearful in praises, which means we praise Him with the fear of God in our hearts. Deep reverence with awe and affection. Say it with me. Deep reverence with awe and affection. It won't just be something we do in here. But when we walk out through those doors, we walk softly before the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Then we're going to see the third part. Who has a God like our God? Glorious in holiness. Do you get it? A thrice holy God. Fearful in praises. Doing wonders. Doing wonders. Doing wonders. It's not just a matter of faith or gifts or anointing. It's how we approach the presence of a holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to sense Him when I get out of my car onto this property. I want to sense Him when I walk through that door. Praise God. Amen. We got a man here who wants to help me clean while our sister's recovering. We're praying for her quick recovery. But I tell him, sometimes I like to come in here by myself. Just by myself. I'm in here, cut off the vacuum cleaner. Sit down for a little while in the presence of the Lord. Just sit down in the presence of the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm not in Kmart. I'm not in Walmart. I'm not in Sears. I'm not in Black Blister, Blockbuster. I mean, you know, I'm not in any of these places right now. I'm not out in the hustle. I'm not in the bustle. I'm here in your presence, Lord. I want to go up to the mountain. Hallelujah. I want to hear from him, and I want to come down that mountain with a message from God's heart for God's people that will listen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just before we go, can I pray with you today? Just before we go, stretch your hand this way toward Alice. Alice, I ask God something. It's a personal favor.